For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I'm Johnny Lazarus, joined by my good friend, Cody Frankel. I apologize for not being on last week's show. I know it was very cringe to listen to the two of them try to talk shit because they both suck at it. But we're back. No Avery today. Did you miss me?
Dude, I think you got to shave, bro, because you look like you're just a straggler.
My beard actually is really long and really itchy.
Yeah, you look like Homer Simpson when he fucking just has that beard and, you know, doesn't do shit with his life. So
you're so bad at shit talking. It's insane.
I mean, you just look like shit. So,
all right. Nice. Yeah. You know? All right. Well, yeah, we got a lot to talk about. Rangers have won 4 games in a row, 3 games post break against the Avs, Lightning, and the Blackhawks.
But bro, don't lie to me. Did you thread your eyebrows? Did you get your fucking eyebrows done?
They do look very like, I actually just, you said that and I looked at it. They look very shaped right now.
Very shaped.
No, but, I haven't gotten a haircut. I'm like due for one, honestly.
And anyways. So yeah. that was my shit talk for the day.
I'm happy you got that off your chest.
Yeah. But no, the Rangers won 3 in a row coming home from break and looking pretty good. I mean, obviously the Hawks game, we can get into that a little bit.
You want to backtrack first or no?
Yeah, we can backtrack.
I didn't watch the Hawks game in complete. I had it on my phone out to dinner. So it kind of like tuning in and out. I wouldn't say I sat down and watched it, but no, I mean, I definitely was glued to it when it was 3-2. I thought, you know, at 3-1 late in the game, I thought they had it kind of handled. And then who was it? Foligno scored the second goal. And then I obviously paid a little bit more attention, but yeah, it was
rough. I watched the whole, like 51 minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm. What'd you turn it off when it was 50?
I watched 55 minutes of the game. So I watched periods 1 and 2. Okay. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay, they're not playing the best, but like whatever. They're playing sound. They have a 3-1 lead. It's fine. I watched the first half of the third period and Jackie was like, let's watch a show. So I said, okay, fine. So we throw True Detective on. And I kid you not, I left the laptop open. All right, watching the game on you're right next to me, like on the floor, but I wasn't paying attention for maybe, I don't know, 10 minutes tops. I glance over, okay, there was 10 minutes and like 30 seconds left when I stopped watching the game. I glance over, okay, and I'm like, I see 57 seconds left in the period, and I see it's now 3-3, and I literally had to like scratch my eyes because I couldn't believe what I just saw, and then I paused True Detective and then watched OT and obviously saw the Zibby goal. But dude, oh my God. I mean, it, you know, those are those games like Igor led in that goal in the first period of the game, and that's fine. He got screened. Okay, it happens.
All three goals, I don't blame him for.
I would say two were a little bit more Gustafsson's fault than Igor's. The one goal, I mean, that went over his glove. I don't know. I think the third one.
No, the second one was like a backdoor rebound by Foligno.
Right. That was the rebound, and then the third one.
Gustafsson didn't have him tied up. Didn't touch him. Yeah, he was just kind of standing there.
Yeah.
And then the third one was that.
It was a nice shot. It was a nice shot.
It was a deflection, and Keandre wasn't even like he was just standing around nobody. Like Keandre didn't pick up Dickinson, who was the eventual goal scorer. They just like even the first goal, like I forgot who the moving screen was, but I think it was Trouba that was defending that goal. Like these guys just go in front of Igor and are untouched. And this is something that the Rangers struggle with offensively when they're on the blue paint. Other teams are boxing them out. They're giving them a hard time and the Rangers have no pushback. Like,
yeah,
that's what's been most frustrating is and Lobby kind of dunked on me, honestly, when I asked him about it. After the Lightning game, I said, like, you know, do you want your guys to be hungry around the net? There doesn't seem to be a lot of second and third opportunities. And he said, like, obviously we want to score more goals. But, you know, there are some games, too, like that Tampa game where, you know, Andrei Vasilevskiy's a really good goalie, didn't allow many second or third opportunities. And
offensively speaking, there's been a couple games now where you guys haven't been able to score more than two goals. I think it's four in the last 12. Do you want to see the team a little bit hungrier to get second and third opportunities around the net?
Again, tonight. There's been, I was pretty honest about this morning. There's been lots of games in the past month and a half where we've had 80 attempts and 40 shots, 45 shots, lots of second opportunities and lots of rebounds, and we haven't scored. Tonight wasn't one of those games. And so I do think that we had some real quality looks, especially in the second, couple in the third. You know, they got a good goaltender in net. That's a team that has a winning pedigree, and they weren't successful for the last 6 years by chance. They played a game the right way, and it just wasn't one of those games. Would I like to score three goals or four goals? That'd be awesome. I'm all for it.
Well, on top of that, obviously, right? Seeing Brodzinski from that.
That was a great goal. We talked about that between periods. Just getting that second guy into the battle in the corner. I thought maybe we were a little bit slow getting in there, keeping that third guy relatively close in a scoring position, but it was the two guys in the corner that were doing the work. I think it was Blake and Kreides maybe in the corner working, pushing it back and forth to each other. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't clean, the work going in the corner, but it was hard work, and it was smart work. And eventually we got it, and they were able to make the quick pop, and he got it off really quick, and heck of a shot by him.
All right. But you, again, at the end of the day, like, you need your guys to be a little bit hungrier around the net. Like, when have we seen a Ranger game where they score three goals that Chicago scored last night? Point shots, deflections, rebounds. You don't see the Rangers score those kinds of goals. You don't.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, like, dude, when they were down 1-0 after the first minute, I wasn't even fazed because I was like, they're going to end up winning this game 7-2. Nope. Three goals and, you know, whatever. They were fine. I really like Loft's goal. I thought that was great. He's heating up and he's playing really well. Johnny B's goal was pretty nice too, and it was funny they like credited Cooley for it, and like every single outlet just like was convinced it was a Cooley goal when like you could literally see the goal was clearly Johnny B. It was like what are you guys doing? And then who scored our third goal?
The third goal was Brods. It was
Scored the second goal?
Kreider. Brods.
Yeah. Crider had a little tap.
That was so sick.
Yeah, play. But
unfortunate for the Blackhawks too, because that forward lost his blade, and I forgot who the defenseman was in the play, but they had to push the forward to the bench, and the puck comes loose to Foxy, clear cut 2-on-1.
I mean, the fact of the matter is, like, sure, they found a way to win. Very appreciative, you know. Thank goodness, but they gave a team a point who hasn't scored a point in 3 weeks, and that's just unacceptable to me. Not to mention a team missing two of their best players, and their best player in Bedard. Mm-hmm. And dude, they got dominated in faceoffs. They lost 34 out of 56 faceoffs. How do you do that without Bedard there? How do you do that? Like, dude, Trocheck and Zibanejad need to fucking like.
How did you just pronounce me? What was that?
I was deciding whether I wanted to say what was Zibby, that? I was deciding whether I wanted to say Zibby or Zibanejad. And I just Zibanejad. but no, seriously though, they need to really like, I mean, Tro's normally really good at faceoffs, but like, dude, Mika's got to be better. I mean, he's got to be better. He was, you know, come playoffs in 2 months, you're going to be taking some draws against some guys who are a hell of a lot better than the Hawks centers without Bedard. And to me, that's a very evident stat of like, you know, they scored a couple goals, they coasted, and they thought they could just like sit back and try and play like, you know, that solid D, and it just kind of blew up in their face a little bit. And I think they need to find ways to be better on that front. And you know, they need to score those type of goals that the Hawks scored, right? They need to score rebounds. Yeah, they need to score deflections. You know, nobody really on this team has deflections aside from Kreider. Like, that's really it.
Yeah.
So,
had that nice one against Anaheim, but that's
like, about it. I mean, and honestly, Cooley is a similar type of player to Kreider, where he's that gritty guy who hustles shift after shift, and you know, obviously isn't on the power play and he's not a putback machine, but you know, they definitely have similarities, and I think we need some more of those guys. And that brings me to the question, right? Like, this trade deadline is close, and two huge players got traded last week in Monahan and Lindholm, who supposedly we were in on Lindholm. But that said, what are they going to do? Because there's a lot of depth available at this trade deadline. They need to fill that center spot without Hedl for sure, no question. And my assumption is they're going to trade for two guys, whether it's with one team, whether it's two teams, don't know. But they're obviously going to trade for a center in some capacity. My hope is they actually trade for a defenseman instead of a winger and then just call Othman up. That's my hope. That is what I think would make this team the deepest and really give them the chance for a deep, deep run to the cup.
What defenseman are you taking out?
Third lefty, dude. Third lefty pair.
So you're taking Gus out?
Yeah. I think, dude, I don't think Gus has been playing that well. And I think you can kind of argue whether you want to, you know, put him up, and I don't know, but I think they need another defenseman. I think, you know, they played pretty well defensively against Tampa and against Avs, sure. But if you look at the metrics and you look at the in-game stats, like over the last 30 games, I mean, you know, you can blame Igor, sure, but like their D hasn't been as good as it should be outside of a few guys. And I think, to me, you know, that's one clear flaw of this team, is they just need to get a little bit deeper and a little bit tougher on D. You know, you don't see, I need Trouba to start laying guys out. I need him to start laying guys out. I don't know what else to do. I need him to start laying guys out.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah.
I love Johnny Brodzinski. And I actually think that line of Brodzinski, Cooley, and Kako is totally fine. Obviously I think it's a little bit of recency bias just because Brodzinski scored in the last two games, but I think that's like a solid third line. Like, I am not looking at this roster and thinking to myself, like, they can go out and get someone that's going to make that line so much better. Like, I'd rather go after Adam that Henrique. First line right wing, you know? Like, Adam is Henrique. Adam Henrique going to be that much more of a difference maker than Brodzinski? Like, are you honestly telling me that Adam Henrique is that much more of a difference?
Yes. Brodzinski's played the majority of the year this year, and he has 13 points. And, you know, those 22 points, how many of those do you, that Henrique has more than him? How many do you think was a game winner? Probably a couple. I don't know. I think.
Yeah, listen, that's a crazy stat. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying. I'm saying, like, in the sense of, like, how many of those 22 points that Henrique has more than Brodzinski were probably, like, impactful? I think probably a couple of them. The Ducks aren't that good, so I don't know. But the caveat is Henrique has a hefty price tag. He's $5.8 million. And, like, you know, I don't really know if they want him. I don't know if that's the guy. Not saying it is. I personally would like Trevor Zegras a lot more than Henrique. I think he's a young kid.
You think Trevor Zegras is the guy who gets the Rangers over the hump?
I think he can absolutely help them. Why are you looking at me like I'm crazy? Trevor Zegras is fucking nasty. Like, he's having a down.
You think he's the guy that helps win this team a cup?
I think Trevor Zegras can absolutely help this team win a cup. Absolutely. I think he would mesh really well with a couple of the young kids, especially Kako, if you're throwing him on that line. And I'm not saying Berdzinski needs to get out of this lineup. Throw him on the fourth line. Get Gaudreau out of the lineup. Make him a healthy scratch. He's trash. Like, he's trash. I'm sorry.
Do you think Trevor Zegras makes the Rangers a harder team to play against? And listen, I'm a Zegras fan. I love Trevor Zegras. I do not think this team needs him at all.
But so here's the thing, though. Hedl didn't make this team harder to play against. Trevor Zegras and Hedl
made him a whole lot faster. That's for sure.
I mean, Zegras is pretty quick.
I wouldn't say he's as fast as Hedl, but
sure. I would say skill wise, he's better than Hedl. So I think, you know, you can pick your poison there. But that said, yeah, do they need a winger, or, you know, depth, or a hard nosed D guy? Like, yeah, sure, fine. If you want to go for that, like a Cooley Kreider type, I'm all for it. I'm just saying, you think Johnny Brzezinski is the guy who gets this team over the cup? Because he doesn't.
No, I'm not disagreeing with that at all. But you know, I don't think they have to go out and get somebody. I think they can go out and get, like you said, a fourth line center is probably a better thing or a better fit than a third line center right now. I think Gaudreau, you know, if they can get rid of that contract and get rid of him, I think that's obviously the clear move to make. But Brzezinski can be a fourth line center, I think.
Which is why I'm saying bump him down and then acquire a third line center is what I'm saying. Yeah.
But I don't think, like, man, I don't know.
What about Yanni Gourde? Yanni Gourde makes them harder to play against. He's a great player.
Yeah. Well, I think you and Avery talked about it last episode. Like, Boone Jenner is the perfect guy. Like, that's a guy I think makes this team better, makes this team harder to play against, can score goals, you know, plays a gritty game, plays a physical game. Like, that's a guy you want on your team in the playoffs. Like, I would take Boone Jenner 11 out of 10 times over Trevor Zegras right now with the way this team's built. The Rangers need to get harder to play against. That's their problem. They have a ton of skill. They've shown it, but they don't have that fucking killer instinct that you need to win a cup. Like really, you know, what? There are a couple guys. Like, I will say Will Cooley. I will say Vinny Trocheck, Jacob Trouba, Ryan Lindgren, Chris Kreider. Time to time. I don't think Kreider has it consistently. I don't think he has that killer instinct consistently. He doesn't play physical enough. He doesn't.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I think Kreider, 9.5 out of 10 shifts, gives it everything he's got. And I think sometimes, you know, occasionally, maybe his head's not there, but I think he's absolutely gives it his all every time. If you want to talk about a guy who kind of like goes in and out, like, throw Mika's name out there, because he's been all over the place.
Yeah, we know that. That's obvious.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I think this team does need to get harder to play against. Do I think it has to be a center that gets them to do that? No, I don't. I think you can get Zegras, and if you want to acquire another player, like, I don't know, like...
Who's even out there still? Let me see.
That's a great question. Let's see. I will tell you who will make this team harder to play against, okay? What about... Definitely not Anthony Duclair. He is fast, though. He is really fast. Tarasenko reunion, Morgan Frost. Morgan Frost would be sick, but the Flyers will never trade him to us. Sean Walker, they'll never trade him to us. What side are you looking at? Faceoff?
Yeah, Faceoff. Yeah, like, honestly, yeah, a guy like Scott Laughton, you know, another physical guy. Like, he's a guy that I think would help this team. I don't think Nick Dowd is you know, someone who helps here.
Hard pass on him. Dude, I'm still on board for Vetrano, but if you trade for Zegras, you can't trade for Vetrano, because neither of them make this team harder to play against. They're just both good players.
What about Anthony Mantha? That's a big body. I was four goals.
You know who would low key be sick? Dom Kubalik.
Kubalik.
Is that how you say it? Kubalik?
Yeah.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
I liked him when he was on the Hawks. I mean, obviously the Hawks moved him, but
He was nasty his rookie year.
He had
25 goals.
Dude, the Hawks are like notorious for doing that. I mean, they do that with everybody.
Panarin, DeBrincat.
Yeah.
Kubalik. But you know, we could talk trade deadline, I feel like, a while here, but I think we should talk about Mika. I saw Vince Mercogliano tweeted last night that it's been 18 games since Mika scored a 5-on-5 goal. Obviously has that big overtime winner last night, but, like, I mean, you look at the stats since December 1st,
Mika has 32 points in 30 games. He has 5 even strength goals in 30 games. Yeah. 5 even strength goals in 30 games, the last 30 games. Like, you know, for a first line center, kind of unacceptable, right? Like, I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
it's rough.
I mean, it is tough. Listen, I love that he's producing on the power play, right? Love that.
Be power play. Right? Rangers power play is like 0 for their last 13.
I know. But I'm saying in general, like, you love to see that. But at the same time, that's why a lot of people say Lauf is so important to this team, because he's a 5-on-5 beast, right? So, like, you'd expect that from your first line center, who's probably skill wise, what, a top 3 player on your team? So,
no, Lauf?
No, Mika. Mika.
Oh, Mika?
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, yeah, I think he needs to improve. I mean, listen, it's funny because similar to Igor, right? Like, Igor's obviously having not a great year. A lot of people are saying Mika's not having a great year, even though he's a point per game player. And they could be right, because he is not producing how he should.
He's just not hungry. He's not shooting. He does not shoot the puck. He doesn't. And we're in the press box every night, every time he has a chance. And he just, like, doesn't even think about shooting. It's the craziest thing.
It's like him and Panarin.
His shot's his biggest weapon.
What'd you say?
Like, his shot's his biggest weapon. You'd think with what Panarin's done this year, shooting the puck, like, he'd be hungrier to shoot too, but he's not.
I mean, how many one-timers does Mika have this year? 3? Tops?
One-time
goals. 3, 4? Yeah.
I mean, last year he had
to have at least 15, right?
I can't even, like, remember. I feel like it. Yeah, it felt automatic. Yes. Or maybe even 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, a lot of people talk about, like, Igor regaining his form is really important for this team coming into playoffs. Absolutely agree. I think another major thing that this team needs to figure out is, like, get Mika going with that one-timer again. That makes this team, that not only makes this team but a better team, but takes this team to an entirely another level and different tier when Mika is on, hot, and automatic on the one-timer. And I think that's really important for this team getting going as we lead up here into the not only the trade deadline, but for playoffs as well. There's 30 games left, and they need to figure a bunch of shit out.
Well, here's the issue too. You know, the Rangers, we've talked about it a lot. They kind of live and die by their power play. And you look at the last 20 games, the Rangers are 10-8-2. So they're playing 500 hockey. Power play is at 16.7%. This power play in the first 20 games of the year, I believe, was over 30%. And it was, like, you know, the best power play in the league. In the last 20 games, it's the date, I think, is December, since Christmas. 20 games since Christmas. The Rangers are the 21st best power play in the NHL. And their penalty kill is at a 78.7%. So, like, the way you look at it, in the NHL, to have a great power play, you should be at least 25% and above. And to have a good penalty kill, you should be at least at 80%. So right now, they're below 20. They're at 16.7% on the power play in those 20 games. And they're below 80.
Terrible.
And they're below 80. So that's, to me, those are below average special teams numbers. And this is a team where we talk about they thrive on their special teams. So
let me ask you something. If you're Laviolette, what do you do to fix that?
Well, it's funny because we actually have a question from Nicole Vitale. And we do have some questions. I tweeted it out, so we can get to those too. Nicole said, thoughts on swapping Lauf with Mika on PP1 till he figures it out. They're doing it with Igor and Quick, riding the hot hand. Need to get the PP going. Lauf, Troch, and Bread would be there together, which we all know works well. I don't disagree. I don't know if taking Mika off is, like, the best thing, but if you try it for, like, 2 or 3 games, I'm all for it, man. Lafreniere's confidence has been unbelievable. He had a couple reps in the St. Louis game when Mika was sick, and he looked pretty good on the first power play unit coming down on his strong side in that flank. What do you think?
I have 2 things to say. Number one is I've been telling you we should put Lauf on PP1 for, like, 3 years now. So,
yeah, obviously, like, realistically, they're the best power play in the NHL. You're not going to touch it.
Listen, Lauf PP1, I'm always for that. Like, get his ass on there. But the second thing is, I don't know if taking Mika off is the move, because if you want him to rediscover this hidden, you know, this unlimited one-timer machine-like talent that he has to really take this team to the next level, how's he going to do that if he's not on the power play? So it's kind of like a catch-22. But I wouldn't, I would not fault Laviolette if he takes him off. I would assume
just for a couple games.
There will be some backlash.
Just try it.
Like there always is. But yeah, no, I agree with you. I think this team needs to do something to score more goals. And if it's not working, and it hasn't been working for what, 15 games now?
And so they've scored more than two goals in five of their last 13 games.
Yeah.
So that's pathetic. eight out of their last 13, they've only scored two goals or less.
Yeah. That is pathetic. So if you want to score more goals, you got to switch things up. And I think this is going to be a big testament to Laviolette's, you know, coaching tenure here as he's obviously a rookie coach with us. And yeah, it's like his back's kind of against the wall a little bit.
His back's not against the wall. I'm saying
his back's against the wall in the sense that he needs to figure some shit out and you know, adjust like all good coaches do, which he's obviously a good coach. And I think this is a perfect example to like, you know, let like you're with the big lights on Broadway, you sink or swim, like make some adjustments. Let's see it.
Well, here's the thing though, they are winning hockey games. And
agree.
And the Tampa game and the Colorado game, outside of that first period against Colorado, they defended pretty well. And yes,
Colorado game is great.
A lot of that has to do with Jonathan Quick because he played outstanding.
Yep.
But Laviolette is really a defense first coach. So
totally.
Those games, like those 2-1, 3-1 tight games, those are the style of games that the Rangers are going to want to play come playoff time. So like, yes, it's bad that they're not scoring consistently. Actually, you know what? I do want to plug in. I don't know if you saw the clip yesterday. My boys at the Empty Netters interviewed Bobby Ryan, and Bobby Ryan had a pretty strong take on the Rangers. He kind of said they might be a little bit fraudulent. I'll play the clip right here. And did you hear it by any chance?
Nope.
Okay. Well, I'll just throw the clip in here.
Give me the rundown.
I don't see them as a threat as a team. They just don't. They don't me do either. It for me. They never have. I love Mika, so I'm always watching him. Played with him for a long time, so I'll turn a lot of his games on. But that, as a team, they're missing. I don't know what it is. They're missing something. They can score at will some nights, and then they can't get on the board. And it's like they don't have enough jam in front of the net sometimes. For me, I do love the way they transition, which is so important in playoffs. Like they get going north pretty quick, and that's a big part of it. And they're fast and skilled. But when that ice tightens up, man, in playoffs, like I don't know if their personnel is quite what I would want to see if I'm behind the bench. Coaching them, like I don't know who's gonna go absolutely pay the price in front of the net.
It feels like 3 years ago Shesty kind of had that season that was like, oh, he's the best goalie in the league, and he's just been worse since, and he's still amazing,
still good,
but you know, he's having kind of a tough year this year, and it's flirting with that area of being like, maybe this is his game.
Probably gonna take a beating for this, but they're kind of fraudulent to me.
I think you're right.
I'll give you the rundown. So Bobby Ryan basically said, you know, the Rangers had this weird thing where they, you know, one night they can score a flurry of goals, the other night they can't find the back of the net. And he just thinks they don't have enough jam around the net. The Rangers don't have that like extra hunger like a team like Florida has, you know?
Yeah,
like,
their jam is Chris Kreider. And when he's not jamming, they don't jam at all.
They just don't have that killer instinct, you know? And I think Bobby Ryan said, like, come playoff time, you need that. You know, so
I want our listeners to understand that this team has flaws, but they're also winning hockey games.
Yeah.
And teams that have flaws and still find ways to win are those types of teams that figure shit out and make deep runs in, you know, April, May, June, even. So I think this team has some tweaks. Luckily, there's 30 games left, right? You need Igor to figure it out. You need Mika to figure it out. Okay.
Well, do we want to go into the Igor Quick thing?
Yes, we can do that in 1 second.
Yeah, we have a couple more questions too.
Okay. So I'll wrap it up here. But the only other thing I want to say is like this team is doing some things right, right? Like Keandre was playing really bad. He's had a really good couple of games. I think he's really improved these last 3, 4, 5 games. So, you know, let's figure this shit out. That's it. All right, let's go into the question.
What you got? Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
So my good buddy Nate Terrell said, my brother and I discuss all the time breaking up Mika and Kreider. I feel like Mika has this notion in his head that he's not the goal scorer on the line. So he's been passing up opportunities to shoot all year, but that's obviously not the case. Curious what the Blue Crew boys think. I mean, I kind of just said this like 15 minutes ago. Yeah. Like, he is a goal scorer, right? Like, yeah. You know, he's had the ability to make plays. We've seen actually, you know, what he's gotten so good though. That little touch pass he had to Blake Wheeler against the Oilers in that game. Remember, like behind the net, he's done that now like four or five times, and it's fucking sick every time he does it. But yes, I think when he's on a line with Chris Kreider, like Kreider is known to be the goal scorer on that line, so he passes up opportunities looking for Kreider every time. Like,
this is a 40 goal scorer.
Yeah, but splitting them up, like I'm not touching the Trocheck line, right? Like, yeah. You can't break those guys up. So what are you doing? Who are you putting Mika with, right? Like,
not Blake Wheeler.
No. Like, would you be interested in seeing Mika in between, like, Cooley and Kako?
I think at this point, anything that gets Mika going and out of his own headspace and just shooting the puck and you know, finding the net, like, I'm open to. I think, again, I don't touch the Trocheck line. Don't even touch the third line.
But those three interest me. Like,
you would put Mika on line three, or you're saying you'd bring the other two up?
I'd bring the other two up.
Okay.
I think just having Mika with a guy like Cooley and Kako, like, Will Cooley
Ryder on line three, though?
I'm just we're answering the question, right? Yeah. This is not a want. This is just the question's been asked, and this is where my brain is going.
Yeah.
Will Cooley is a guy that gets in on the forecheck, bangs bodies, can cause turnovers. Kaapo Kakko is the guy who also is somewhat of a playmaker, possesses the puck well in the offensive zone, can set up Mika. Like, Kakko is not a goal scorer, right? He's not a goal scorer. So if you have a guy like Kakko and Cooley who can, you know, get in the corners, do the dirty work, get the puck back, and find Mika in those soft areas for a one-timer or for an open opportunity to shoot the puck, like, I think that three could work. I really do. And then for Wheeler and Kreider with maybe Brodzinski, having Johnny Brodzinski on that line makes them a pretty fast third. Like, Kreider and Brodzinski are pretty fucking fast north-south skaters. Wheeler's a little bit of a step behind, but, you know, I think as long as you can get Kreider that puck and let him shoot, I'm kind of open to that idea.
I think this could work if they acquire a third line center. I think Johnny B needs to be our fourth line center, makes us very deep, get Gaudreau the hell out of this lineup, and acquire a third line center. And then, yeah, if you acquire like, you know, a Yanni Gourde, like, and make it Kreider, Gourde, and Wheeler, dude, I'm all for that to try it out. Or you can then play with it. But I think the problem is, it's not that we're shallow right now, but, like, obviously we had the Hedl injury hurts us because we haven't made moves yet. And it seems like it's trending in the direction that Drury's going to literally wait until the week of the deadline to actually make a move. But you can try it out.
And here's an interesting one too. We actually have another comment from Steamboat. Not a question, but more of a preference. I'd like the Rangers to trade for a solid third, fourth liner like Jordan Greenway than a top six winger, just to give the Rangers a different look and more jam. I completely fucking agree. Not to mention anyone currently on the fourth line.
Huh? Yeah. No, I agree. I don't think they need a top six winger. I know a lot of people are saying that. Listen. Yeah. Hear me out. Would a Vetrano or a Tarasenko or any of these guys be great, like, to bring the band back together or even get a new face? Absolutely. But if you're acquiring a top six winger that's eating into your cap, you have, I think they have like
5.3.
Okay. So let's just say that's 3 to 4. Dude, in what world are you getting a 3C for 1.5? You're not. So you're getting a depth guy who's going to come in and out and might end up not even being better than Gaudreau. So my thoughts are, get your 3C, however much that is, you figure that shit out. Whatever you have left over, that's what your wiggle room is. If somehow you can make a guy work like a Vetrano, and you know, obviously Vetrano's 4.5, so that won't work. But I think, to me, the 3C is the priority, and then you figure out the second move afterwards, and you could always bring up Othman. I think Othman could be the top six winger. Give the kid a shot. Give him the minutes. Let him cook the last, you know, 10, 15 games of the year and see if he's ready for the playoffs. And if not, you'll figure it out. That's just my thoughts.
I'm just looking up cap friendly right now. What about a package deal for like Casey Middle? Oh, Casey Middlestat's a restricted free agent.
Middlestat, yeah. And Olofsson?
No, for Middlestat and Greenway. Like those are two, you know, third. Like
How is Middlestat performing?
He's got, let me look. I'm pretty sure he's got north of 10 goals and like, yeah, he's got 12 goals and 30 assists, 42 points, 50 games. He's a good skilled player too.
Problem is, dude, if you trade for him, for Casey, you're giving up Kako. There's probably. No ifs or buts about it. You're giving up Kako. Probably. So that's a repercussion that now you need to think about, right? Because you have this vision of how this top nine is going to look, but now it changes without Kako. So what would it, so listen, let's play it out. Right, you get Middlestat and Greenway. What does your top nine look like now? Let's say it's Middlestat and Greenway for Kako, a second and a prospect.
They might throw Jones in there, maybe. I don't know.
So now, what does your top nine look like?
Wait, so it's Kako, a second, and a prospect. You said,
yep, for Middlestat and Greenway.
Well, I mean, it'd be Middlestat, Greenway, Cooley, and the same top six.
Okay, no. So
then you have Brods, VZ.
Well,
and
I'm thinking,
like,
what about putting Kreider on line three with Middlestat and Greenway, and then bringing Cooley up to line one
with Mika and Wheeler?
Oh fuck, I forgot Wheeler's on that line.
Yeah, I don't know.
Wheeler, Hot Wheels, just fucking ruin it.
I feel like we're gonna get off the rails here with the trade talks, but the last thing we should cover today, unless you want one more thing.
No, I'm good. I was just saying, trades are trades, bro.
I was just going to go into the quick Igor stuff.
Okay.
Who do you think should start in goal on Monday?
Listen, tough topic for fans, for me, for everybody. I've always, I am a Ranger fan before I am a player fan. I want the Rangers to win the cup, not a player to win the cup. I've always been a big proponent of if somebody is super hot, you ride the hot hand if that's the guy who takes you a long way. It's happened many times where a team has won the cup. Don't forget about Matt Murray and the Penguins where that happened. Don't forget about Binnington. Like it's happened multiple times.
Even last year, Alex Lyon started for the Panthers.
Yeah, Alex Lyon. I love Igor. But he needs to figure some shit out. And until he does, when you have Quick playing elite hockey like the guys in 2014, who's already won a cup, by the way, like to me, it's a no-brainer. Again, I understand there's politics involved. Igor's your franchise goalie. There's fans involved and a lot of aspects that, you know, really hammer at the pressure of playing Igor. But like to me, I would go Quick personally. I am going Quick as the starting goalie moving forward until Igor figures his shit out. The way I would proposition it is, Igor, this is your team. The net is yours once you figure your stuff out. But until
how's he going to figure out if he's not playing?
Well, dude, you could do a 60-40 split or like, you know, just vice versa. Yeah. They've basically been doing that already. It's just been Igor.
Oh, Igor's played like twice the amount. He's played, I think Igor has like 33 starts. I think Quick has like 18.
Okay, so I mean, reduce that shit and make it, you know, make it 60-40 and give Quick 3 out of 5 starts. You know what I mean?
Well, here's the issue right now. I actually, you know, I was talking with Colby Cohen, who I do the morning show with, and I honestly thought, what?
I said Cup of Joe.
And I mean, it's kind of like easier said now because the game happened and it happened the way it happened. But said like putting Igor in against Chicago is kind of a lose-lose situation.
So
like you're making it clear that right now he's kind of the backup. No, like you could say what you want, but giving Quick Tampa and Colorado and then giving Igor Chicago, like,
well, not only that, bro, but like. They then had Igor play and like he didn't look, you know, he looked kind of the same, like he didn't look that sharp. And now it makes him look even worse because now you almost lost to the bottom
again, of
the NHL. I know
the effort in front of him wasn't good, but
totally. But dude, does that say something that the guys aren't aren't playing to the remember last year and the year before, and when Igor plays, everybody plays top notch, and then when the backup plays, they kind of slack a little bit. You kind of see it switching around a little bit where they're playing top notch D behind Quick, and the effort's lacking a little bit behind Igor, and I wonder if that has something to do with it. I don't know.
I don't know if they're playing that much worse in front of Igor, but I think Quick is bailing them out way more. So it's like
it might seem
like they're playing different in front of the two, but I think it's really just Quick, you know, being outstanding.
So what are you doing?
I'm starting Igor on Monday. I'm starting against Igor on Monday. It's an out of conference team. You know, the two that points obviously matter for the Rangers, but like if the Flames win, it does nothing for the Rangers in the standings, you know? But like right now, I think everybody that's watched this team play feels more comfortable with Jonathan Quick in net. Like, I think that's got to be the case, right? Like, it seems like when Igor is in net, it's kind of like what's going to go wrong in this game? You know, something's going to go wrong.
Yeah.
But with Quick, like, I am confident every time someone shoots, I'm confident he's making the save. Like, I really do feel that way. And I feel like most people do, but here's somewhat of the dilemma. If Igor does start Monday, do you then play him again on Thursday against Montreal, who again isn't as strong of a team? Points, you know, if Montreal wins, don't do so much. And then where do you go with this rotation? You know,
if it's a very good question.
Bobby always says they have a plan. He says they have a plan.
Right.
Listen, but now
You're starting Igor on Monday, if they go with what you say they should do and they start Igor on Monday and he wins, you have to go Igor on Thursday. You have to let him build connection, build a rhythm, like get back to.
So here's where it gets hard. Guess what the game after Montreal is?
Oh, trust me. I know.
If Quick gets the start in the outdoor game, what does that do to Igor's mental? That's the biggest game on the calendar in the regular season, as far as I'm concerned, against your fucking rival in an outdoor game that's going to be watched nationally, most likely, and you're not playing in that game.
30-degree weather, by the way. Yay! Couldn't be the 59 degrees we have today. It has to be 30 degrees.
But also, right now you're playing the Islanders. Who do you want in net? I want Quick and goal.
I don't see why not. I mean, I don't see why not. The Islanders are, they're no pushovers, right? They have 12 OT losses, but like they're still not
right now. Their game right now, they're down.
They're in the hunt for the playoffs. I think they're 2 points out. So it's like, you know, that's an important 2 points for us. So it's, I think this week is going to be very telling, man. And what you could do is do a little switcheroo-ski, and on Monday you start Quick against the Flames, start Igor against the Canadians on Thursday, and if Igor wins on Thursday and builds the confidence, you start him in the outdoor game.
I like that.
I can see them doing.
Yeah.
You know, but like if Quick gets a shutout against the Flames, for example, like it's tough because then you don't play again until Thursday, and it's like, why wouldn't you start Quick? Like,
why wouldn't you start Quick again? Yeah.
It's a dilemma, man. It's a dilemma that they're going to have to figure out. But, you know, many teams have done it, right? Like, look at the Bruins with Olmark Swayman last year.
Yeah.
I mean, two elite goalies played best of their career, probably. And they figured it out. I think it's a good problem to have, but it would be a better problem to have when he figures the shit out.
I'm happy you said that, because I think a lot of people are thinking this is somewhat of like a panic.
It's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have. It reminds me of like Lundqvist, Talbot, when Talbot played so great for us that one year. You know, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be interesting to see how it plays.
Are you going? Are you going to the outdoor game?
I put in my credential request, so I'm waiting to hear back on it.
It got denied. That's fine.
No, I haven't.
I'll guest you. It's fine.
All right. Well, actually, if it does get denied, can you?
Yeah, I'll guess you. I'll be your shitty head.
But I think, like, whoever starts in that game
is the starter. I mean, you don't start a backup in an outdoor game. I'm sorry, but you don't. And also, not to mention that, it's every game this week, we have 3 to 4 days of rest before the next game. So, like, the goalies are going to be well rested. You're starting your starter on Sunday.
Well, you know what's funny?
Yeah.
I don't know if this was the last outdoor game Laviolette coached, but when the Rangers played the Flyers in the 2012 Winter Classic.
Yeah.
Laviolette started Bobrovsky over Brizgalov. Bobrovsky was the backup that year. So
that he did.
So, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know, man. Maybe don't read into it too much if he starts quick over Igor. Like, but you know, this is a situation Laviolette's been in before. So I actually want to see,
but not a situation in New York City.
Yeah. I want to see the stats in that year.
I have it right here. Bobrovsky. Yep. Bobrovsky.
How many games did Bob start?
He started 26 games.
Okay. Wow.
26 games, and Brizgalov started 55.
Yeah.
Or 50, 52, whatever it is.
And he didn't get the outdoor game. Wild. Yeah.
And his GAA and you know, his record, everything. Like, Bob wasn't playing that well that year. He was 14-10-2.
What were his stats?
14-10-2 with a 3.02 GAA, while Brizgalov was 33-16-7 with a 2.48 GAA. Significantly better.
What about save percentage?
Save percentage was 909 for Brizgalov, and Bob was 899. So not great.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
But those were also the years where, like, it was the opposite problem, where the Flyers goaltending situation was a nightmare. You know, like, they couldn't...
Wasn't Yager on that team? Yeah, he was, I think, right?
Yeah, because Rupper did the salute.
With Drew.
Played with Drew. Yeah.
Wow.
But before we get off topic, that's all I got for today. Anything you want to bring up? I mean, it is going to be a fun week. There's two home games and then the stadium series, and then the Rangers actually are home again. The next five games are pretty fucking awesome. So it's Monday against Calgary, Thursday against Montreal, Sunday outdoor game, Tuesday home against Dallas, and then Thursday in New Jersey, Saturday in Philly. So a lot of local games in the next 2 weeks.
From Sunday to Thursday, I mean, you know, the Islanders, Dallas, Devils, those are three very big games. And I know Devils are playing like trash.
Even Philly.
Philly's a big game too. Yeah they're big games. And we really need this, like, the goalie situation at least addressed and figured out. And, like, listen, if you're doing the 60-40 split, if you're doing 50-50, whatever, don't care. Have a plan. If, you know, Laviolette Simple has a plan most of the time. Like, let's figure this out. And again, like, the Rangers have flaws right now, but I see every flaw as being fixable and addressable in these last 30 games. And I think I really, really do think they're like two pieces away from making getting to that cup. I really do. But the most important thing is, I think it has to be the right two pieces, right? Like, you can't make a mistake with one of these guys, because they need the right third center, and they need the right, you know, gritty type of guy, whether it's a winger or a third pair lefty. Like, they need both badly. So that's kind of the last thing I'll say. And you know, other than that, what are you doing for the Super Bowl Sunday?
I'm just going to a buddy's apartment, actually, like in the Upper East Side. So your neck of the woods.
Oh, mine?
Show there. Nothing nice. Too crazy. Well, you didn't invite me over. So what are you doing?
I'll be in Florida. So suck it.
Are you going to Florida?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Oh, nice. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm jelly.
Yeah, but me, AJ, Alex, and Avery are hanging out.
Are you?
Yeah, are you upset?
Yeah, I'm kind of jealous.
That damn, dude. Fun. Yeah. No, I don't know if I'm seeing them yet. I'm just kidding. You know, a lot of people are like, don't bet against the Chiefs, and I get it. Mahomes is sick. I kind of think the Niners are sick, man.
I'm taking the Chiefs and a Travis Kelce touchdown.
Okay.
Got it.
I can't bet against the Niners, you know. My old friend is married to one of the guys there, so I gotta.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You know the girl who's making all the jackets, Kristen?
She's unbelievable.
Yeah, I went to college with her.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Dude, she's got to get into hockey. We need her in the NHL. She's unreal.
She's the shit. Yeah. I remember when she first started that, and she was like, she asked like all her friends to follow it. It was really funny.
I want to follow her page. How do you spell her name again?
Juice. Dude, I remember when they first started dating. It's so funny. So she went to URI. Right? Yeah. She went to URI, and she actually transferred to 2000, I think it was, for... Was it Towson or it was Maryland? It was in Maryland, but for dance, because she was a sick dancer. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, She left, I think, junior year was one of them. But yeah, great girl. Very happy for her.
Dude, she's unreal.
Yeah.
I want her to make a Ranger jacket. Yeah. I think it'd be sick.
Dude, it'd be sick. I can ask her to, honestly. Yeah, I can. But who knows what she charges friends and family these days for you know, after making Swifty's jacket. But
dude, the NHL needs her. She's unbelievable. Yeah, tell her I said that. Like, seriously, I'm a big fan of her work.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Yeah. Great. Fun episode. It was good catching up with you. I miss you. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Miss you too, dude. We'll be back.
Yeah. Every Sunday, or I guess this, should we post this on Sunday?
Yeah. Let's give it a little Super Bowl special.
All right. Super Bowl special. We love you guys. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you next week. See you at MetLife.
GR, baby.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.